Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
We are talking about spiritual laziness, isn't it?
Matthew chapter 25 from verse 14.
Yeah, you'll do a lot of reading.
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Verse 17. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money.
Went off, dug a hole, and he hid the money. Why feel? Yeah? Are you reading? Remember he said that he gave each of them, did he say a talent? What did he give them?
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with wealth. To one he gave a bags of gold, to one another 2 bags.
Yours says bags of gold. Mine says talents. So he gave each of them. And he said to their several abilities. Read that part.
To one.
Reading for the pastor is not easy. But it's working.
So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had.
Go back. What verse are you on?
I'm in verse 15.
Okay, take it from 14 again.
Okay. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Mm-hmm. To one, he had 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability.
Each according to his ability. That means that he gave them because he knew that something they can do with it. They all have an ability. Do you understand?
Amen.
You see, I always say, when you think about God as a creator, think about the chair. What is the purpose of this chair? To be sat on, isn't it? That's why it was made. It has a purpose. So God doesn't just be creating people and, okay, number 3, number 5. Now. You also want to be a human. Okay, go, go, go. Everything he does has purpose. And now for us to be able to sit on this chair, it needs balance to counteract the force that you are putting on it. And some chairs, you know, there's different designs. Some chairs are for people who have back problems. So you'll see it's fancy so that when you sit, your back, you know. So some of us, we are a chair, but some of you are a chair that can roll. You are a chair that has arms. Do you understand? You are a chair that can go up and down. But at least, at the minimum, at least you are a chair. You have a purpose. There is something you can do. At the most minimum. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So every human being on this earth has ability. There is something you can do. God doesn't create you and does not empower you for what he wants you to do. Even we human beings, you know what God says? He says that if we can gather all the wisest people in the world, and not just in our generation, but in the generations before ours, and gather all the wisest of them and compare their wisdom. He says that he will not even use his wisdom to compare. He will use his foolishness and it will be wiser than all our wisdom combined. God is dangerous. I was reading the book of Job, and Job kept on saying to his friends, if God can just come, you know, And he doesn't terrify me because, you see, he's holy, he's wonderful, he's brilliant and everything. And he doesn't terrify me so that I'm afraid of him. One day Moses told the children of Israel, come, today you will see him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Now, as he was just coming down, they were starting to shake. They were seeing dark clouds. They were seeing lightnings. They were seeing... Hey! When he started talking, it was like the earth is shaking. So Job said that, if he can just come and not scare me, then I will be able to tell him what I think. So in chapter, I think it's chapter 38, God finally came to Job at his request. And they started talking. By the end of it, Job said, I realized that I talked foolishly. I realized I don't know anything. There's nothing you can do. You are God. And I'm sorry. He's too great for us. Now, if we know how to make something and empower it and give it purpose, how much more him? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he gave them all gold according to their abilities. Let's continue.
Then he went away on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Mm-hmm. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money.
So look at this one. He's not using his ability. He digs, put the money on the ground, and I say, I'm done. Eesh. Yes, ma'am, continue.
Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Mm-hmm. Verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. We have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Mm-hmm. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
You see, they are almost getting the same reward. The one had 5 bags of gold. He went and traded them and got another 5. So there's 10 bags. The one had 2, went and traded them and got another 2. There's 4. But look at the reward. It's the same. See, God doesn't discriminate. With what you can do, because he knows what he has given you. If you do it with all that you are and all that you have, he will bless you to the point that Paul says that the things that we go through in this life are nothing compared to the glory that is awaiting us. So the problem with us is that we compare ourselves too much. Hey. Ola, ola, iskwasa hai. Hey. And you start looking at stupid things like that, and you stop manifesting your full potential because you are living in the shadow of the other person. In fact, that if I would define depression, that is depression. In Ola's dictionary of words, it's living under the shadow of somebody else. And I tell you, you can never become another person. You are you. You will be the most happiest when you are you. That's why I say, if you don't have a car, just be happy. One guy, I'm going somewhere. Let there be a spring on your step. Don't be like, hey, Veterina, who don't have cars? Be alive. Be happy. Be joyful. Live every day to the fullest. Because God is going to change your story very soon. Very soon. The reason your story has not been changed is because you are forever complaining. Forever. In fact, we should be singing to you, complaining is my name. Is, in fact, not my name, your name. Complaining is your name. Oh, complaining is your name, is your name, is complaining is your name. Oh. That's what we should name you, because you are forever complaining. Everything you must call. Hey, my shoes. Hey, my pants. Hey, my work. Hey, my salary. Hey, my children. Well, is there nothing in your life that you can be happy about? Tell the neighbor, say, be happy. Tell the other one, say, be happy. I'm happy. You know what makes me happy? My God makes me happy. I love him. He makes me happy. When I'm down and I go to him, I can never come back from him down again. It's impossible. I love him. And I am in him, he is in me. Today though, don't forget where we were reading, okay? Today, the Holy Ghost showed me something. And I read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 18, where the Holy Spirit says, do not be drunk with wine. I mean, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is in excess. He says, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Sandile, you were a policeman before in your past, weren't you? Did you ever do roadblocks where you are testing people for alcohol? Come. Give him a mic quickly. Quickly, sir. Don't forget where you are. Now, what are some of the things that you'll be looking for that gave you evidence that this person is drunk?
The way they drive, when you stop them.
Yeah.
Their appearance. Mm-hmm. Especially their eyes.
Especially their eyes. Yeah. How, tell us, we are not policemen, so what are you looking for in the eyes?
Red eyes.
Red eyes. Okay. What else?
No, you just talk to the person,
mm-hmm.
and then you can smell them.
You can smell yeah. when they talk. Okay. Anything else?
No, it's there. It's enough.
It's enough.
Yeah.
Already they've given you enough evidence to say that this one is dangerous.
Amen.
On the street. Thank you. Put your hands together for him. Now, the Holy Spirit said to me, because it was not by mistake that Paul says that, do not be drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be ye filled. It's all in one sentence. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. So the analogy of a drunken person is there to explain to us how a spirit-filled person should be. Now, the Holy Ghost said to me, that drinking, you drink and drink and drink and drink to the point where you come under the influence of the alcohol. Are you still with me? Now, when someone has come under the influence, you start seeing certain things. Like he says, the eyes start telling you that even the eyes are under the influence. The walking. Does a drunk person walk like this? Eh? He walks like how? Huh? Uteng. What does that mean? I know there's a higher level, the advanced drunkards. We're not talking about them. We are talking about normal drunkards. Huh? They have a step, isn't it? Now the Holy Spirit said to me, that walk is under the influence of what he has been taking. When the person is talking, do they talk like I'm talking? Like the speech is no longer the same, is it? Sometimes it even slows down. The Holy Ghost said that that mouth is under the influence of what he has been taking in. I have an uncle. In fact, it's not an uncle. It's my grandmother's brother. What is he to me? My grandfather. He said, this grandfather of mine, every time he drinks, he becomes so emotional. He will just cry about anything. He'll start crying. And then he will remember a song. This song. He'll just... That emotion is under the influence of what he has been taking. So the Spirit said to me that we also must take in the Holy Spirit so much, be filled to the point where you come under the influence of the Spirit. Your walking must come under the influence of your Spirit. The speech, the way you talk, the words that come out of you must be because you are under the influence of what you have been taking. And then the Holy Ghost reminded me of Abraham. And he said, Abraham was drinking God's voice so much. He was listening to the voice of God so much that he came under the influence of that voice. And the Holy Spirit said to me, to the point that one day God said to him, Abraham, you see your feet. Anywhere where your feet touches is yours. Now imagine how Abraham was walking. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, I give it unto you. So as he was walking there, he was walking in dominion. He was in charge. He was under the influence of that voice that he was hearing all the time. Until one day, he had a message that your cousin, Lot, has been caught by the enemy. Now, this was not a small enemy. The Bible says that it was 5 kings that had come together to fight Sodom and Gomorrah. And they came and overcame Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was living there. So they took Lot with him. They didn't know which prisoner they were taking this time. There are some people that you don't touch. Just leave them alone, because you don't know the force that is behind them. They may look like nothing, but don't touch them. Leave them alone. And they took Lot, and one guy ran and went to Abraham and said, "Hey, Bamteri." And Abraham, the Bible says that he had 318 men in his house that were his personal bodyguards. And he said, "Come!" And they went. Now remember, 318 men with an army of 5 kings. In other words, they were going now to challenge 5 nations. With 318 men. Why would he do that? He's under the influence of the voice of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is. He's under the influence. And he went with these 318 people and he defeated them like they were nothing. And he came back carrying all the wealth of 5 nations. If you just drink the correct thing, if you can just allow yourself to drink the word of God so much that you come under the influence of his word, if you can pray so much that you come under the influence of prayer, if you can fast so much that you come under the influence, you see, what you take the most, you come under the influence of it. If every time you are watching politics, you are watching ANC, EFF, whatever, you over time, even when you talk, you'll be greeting me as your pastor and say, "Comrade, how are you?" I say, "I'm not a comrade. I'm not a comrade." But you see, you are under the influence of what you have been taking in. You'll be calling me fighter. Do I look like a fighter to you? I'm royalty. My king has made me a king. when he says he's the King of Kings, which other king do you think he's talking about? He's talking about you and me. You're busy calling me a fighter. Your mouth like a fighter. Your mouth like a comrade. But you see, it manifests the fact that you're politics, politics, politics. It's what you are drinking. That now even your mouth has come under the influence of the politics. Your mind has... There are some people who you say, when we talk about the word, you know the Bible says, like, but if you say, you know Ramaphosa, hey, Irgubut, Irgubut. You come alive. Your anointing comes now. Now that we are talking politics. I digress. Let's continue where we were. Am I talking to somebody here?
Verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I have...
You wicked and what?
And lazy.
Lazy servant.
So you knew that...
Sorry, pause right there. So when the Lord heard the explanation, all he was hearing, lazy, 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 lazy. So when the guy was talking, all Jesus was hearing is lazy, 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 lazy. I am lazy. Because he knew, he gave them according to their abilities. So the Lord knows that this guy can do it. But he came with every excuse in the book. I'm afraid. I know you are a hard man. Every excuse that he could think of, he was coming with it. So Jesus looked beyond all this manga business and said, you are wicked and you are lazy. That's all I'm hearing. Oh, judgment day. You may fool me, your pastor, but you can't fool God. Can't. Continue, ma'am.
So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I will have received it back with interest.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
So take the bag of gold from him, and give it to the one who had 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them.
Hey, laziness. Look at that horrible thing that the Lord is saying. Even the little that you have will be taken away from you. Remember I told you lazy people don't value what they have. Because you are busy living in the shadow of somebody else. You are not living every day to the fullest. You are not trying your best. You know, when I was growing up in the Lord, the people around me were very, very, very anointed. One guy was a prophet. So we used to go to hospitals to preach to the sick. And so when we got there, one time our leader said, okay, you guys are no longer, because we used to have a service. And so he said, I don't need all of you guys here. So there are some sick people that cannot come to the service. So you guys go and preach to them and pray for them. So one of these guys, he's my friend. Every person he went to and talked to, every single one was born again, got born again. Me, every single person I went and talked to, not even one said, I would like to receive Jesus. When I went home, I cried to God. I said, what is this? What is this? Anointed people. He would just be standing there and start telling you, the Lord is here, and he'll start be prophesying. These are the people I was around. So, to the point that I started feeling that something is wrong with me. Because what they were experiencing, I was not experiencing. Till I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to be like them. And I'm going to be me. That's when I felt the glory of God like I've never felt before in my life. I felt freedom. I stepped out of someone's shadow and I decided to live my life. And I decided to find out what is the grace that God has given me. Let me walk in that grace, not in somebody else's grace. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Stop looking at other people and start becoming you. Because in you, there's a lot of glory that God is waiting to manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Continue.
Verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Throw him into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is heaven. This guy will not lose his salvation. But in heaven, he'll go to a place called weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let me explain what this means. In heaven, there'll be two types of people. There'll be the type who, if this is Jesus, if this is the throne of God in heaven, there'll be people who will be living around here. When they open their windows, they can see him. And then there'll be people who will be a living guy, Kolusaka, if Jesus is here, type of thing. Now that place, because it is far from the source of light, is called weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's still in heaven, but it's far from the source, which is God. Now, why are they weeping? And why are they gnashing their teeth? It is because in heaven, they'll be like, oh, I should have. When I was here, I should have. When I had the chance, I should have. Imagine for all eternity. I should have. I should have. I should have prayed when I had the chance. I should have worshipped him. I should have loved him. I should have gave him my all. I should have. I should have. But they were busy giving excuses. You know, on Sunday, you know, Pastor, I'm a businessman. You know, you know, you know. That's the danger of spiritual laziness. You may be able to navigate and fool many people here on the earth. You can fool the pastors, but you can't fool God for all eternity. He said, cast them into utter darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You start be thinking of all the seasons in your life where you should have given your best, when you should have given your all, where you should have loved them as. That's why I'm telling you, every day, live it to the fullest. Live. Otherwise, you'll find yourself one day where you cannot influence anything on the earth anymore. And you'll be wishing that service at church. I was there as though I'm a dead person. I should have lifted my hands. I should have opened my mouth and loved him. I should have. Where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you understanding me? Don't be lazy. And if you are lazy, please, at least when it comes to spiritual things, Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy to pray. Don't be lazy to read the Bible. Don't be lazy to come to church. Don't be lazy to wake up. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Many years ago, God used to speak to me. I was much younger. And they said, I want you to go to a fast. And I would hear the voice of God, but let's say he will tell me to fast for 7 days. Around the second day, I will feel hungry and I'll start eating. And there are many fasts like that. Some of them I didn't even do, Sandile. Now as I look at my life and I see certain struggles, I wonder that had I done the fast properly, the things I'm going through now, would I have been going through them? Now it is messy when that I'm seeing that thing and I'm still here. I can correct it so that when he speaks to me again, I will fast. Are you listening to me? Now imagine now we are in heaven. There's no chance to correct your mistakes now. This is the time. This is the season to work on yourself, to fix yourself, to make sure that the person you are born to be, you become. The excuses are only hurting you. They're not hurting anybody else but you. You are the one who will cry. You are the one who will gnash your teeth one day if you do not do what you have to do now to the fullest. There are many people, even while they are here, they're already regretting. When I was at school, I should have stopped playing. I should have done my best. I should have pushed. I should have stopped following my friends. Because when you look at where your life is now, when you look back, you weep. Because it's not that you are a fool. It's not that you didn't have understanding. It's just that you are too playful. Every wind that was blowing, you are following it. And you lost focus of your future. And you are still on the earth and you are already regretting, you are crying. It's time to wake up. It's time to take it into your own hands. It's time to correct every mistake we have made. While you have breath on in your nostrils, you can change your life. You can change your story. There's nobody else who's going to change it for you. Nobody. All the power is in you. When that guy went and hid his talents, Jesus didn't say, hey, you guys who were with him, why didn't you help him? Why didn't you warn him? Why? He said, hey, lazy, wicked. He said, take even the little I've given him and give it to these guys who are working, who are serious, who valued everything I gave them. And he said, cast him out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wake up, Mzalwane. We are not here forever. I'm sure you know. Live every day to the fullest. Do your best. Give God your best. Anything that you are doing, give it 150%. And God is watching what you are doing with the little. And one day he will say, this one is serious. This one is ready for a promotion. This one is ready for the next level. And when God speaks, nothing can stop what he's about to do. Amen. One day a certain man of God had a vision and he saw himself in heaven. And when he was in heaven, he saw God sitting on the throne and there was a screen in heaven. And to his dismay and his shock, it was a movie of his life. And everyone was watching in heaven. Heesh. Many of us, if we would play a movie, if we would say next week Sunday when we come to church, we'll be playing a movie of all our lives, one by one. The church will be empty. It will be empty. So this man was watching himself. And he was watching his mistakes, and he was watching his fault, and he was watching everything he ever did wrong. When the movie finished, God said, let him lift him up. And they came and they clothed him and they took him to the next level. So he said, what? Were these people watching the same movie that I was watching? And God said, lift him up. You see, no matter what your life may look like, when God says, lift him up, lift her up, even the devil himself can come and make a petition. Bring all the evidence. Don't you remember on the 19th of June, 2001? Don't you remember in 1999? God, surely you must remember. When he says, let there be lifting up, there shall be lifting up. Amen. So why am I saying this? Just the little that you have, the ability that you have now, to your best. To your best. One of the things I've learned up from the book of Job is God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means that he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do, doesn't have to answer to anyone. Because Job was minding his own business and God said to Satan, have you seen Job? And Satan said, and then say, okay, touch him, but don't kill him. And when Satan is given the chance, he will not play with it. He destroyed his life nice. It was God who began all that thing. Till today, when I read, I say, but Mudimu. Someone said, This one is difficult. If I was Job, I don't know. And what breaks my mind? After all said and done in the last chapter of that book, is that Job's friends, God says to them, he judges them. And he says, go to Job and ask him to pray for you. And he says that Job is the one who is accepted. Job is correct. I said, sure. This thing is only God. If God thinks you are correct, you are correct. It doesn't matter who thinks what. He's sovereign. So if you can soberly, you understand soberly? Think about your life. And I was telling Mom Ruti, I think we were talking on Friday, that in the depths, in the innermost parts of me, there is something that tells me that I am great. That my future is great. And I have a terror of dying before that greatness comes out. That's the only terror I have in this life. I'm not afraid of dying. Dying is gain for me. When I die, I meet Jesus. When I die, no more tears. When I die, no more crying. Dying is not a problem. The problem is dying before time. Before time. Because I don't want to be in heaven and say, I should have. I'm sorry, I don't. So there are some of us who know that where we are is not where we are supposed to be. And nobody can convince you otherwise. You know from the innermost depths of you. If you can look at your life from that perspective and say, look, I am here now. What must be done? What's the way forward? One of the things about lazy people is that lazy people always choose the easy way out. It is the easy way out that has brought us to the problem that we are, that is called today. So in your consideration and meditations about your life, whenever the easy option comes, reject it. Because all your life, you have been choosing the easy way. And it has brought you nothingness. It's time now to soberly consider. I'm a pastor. When I think about my life, there's no solution that I can think of that doesn't have prayer in it. So my solution about anything in life starts with prayer. My solution about everything in life has to have the word of God in it. So when I think about my life, the first thing that I have to correct, my prayer life. Not that I must pray. I must have a prayer life. It must be part and parcel of me. It must be in my DNA every day. Every single day of my life, I must pray. I must read the word. That is the beginning of my breakthrough. That's the beginning. So sometimes I don't feel like reading, I must read. Sometimes I will sit like this. This is my table. Do you see? Where's my Bible? Borrow me my Bible. Sometimes I'll sit like this. I'm ready to read. And I start. And before I know it, I'm and I'll be dozing off. I will not stop trying to read. I will not. I'll just continue. But eventually, I will wake up. And I'll start reading. And I'll start reading. I say, hey, is this in the word? Where's the dictionary? And I'll go get the dictionary. And I'll collect the dictionary. I said, what does this word mean? I said, interesting. Hey, but the King James, thou, thee, thou, thou, can we have another version? Then I'll go collect another version. Sorry. And I'll be reading it for hours, not for minutes. Not for seconds. For hours. Do you know hours? Have you heard of hours before? I'll just be reading. And I'll be checking. Now that I've finished the book of Job, I'm asking the Holy Ghost, where to next? And I feel like I must go back. Because I might have missed something. So I'm going to be going back to the book of Job. And now, when I do things, now I type. It's a serious thing that is happening here. It's not a joke. There's a Nzabangena. You're a joker, my friend. You're fooling around with somebody. I'm a pastor of thousands. 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 Do you know that God can sing? What's the time? I'm just full. I'm clothing. Do you know that God can sing? Many times He sings to me. Around Thursday, I was just talking to Him, telling Him certain things. And out of the blue, He started singing to me. And He said, ask of me in a song. And He said, I will give you the nations as an inheritance to you. And He was singing it to me. And I said, stop it right there. I said, thank you. But all I want is you. I stopped Him. I said, all I want is you. I said, God, if you give me the nations, there's a danger of me being proud. But if I am in you and you are in me, there is no danger of any mistake that I can make. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to lie to you. Your future is in your hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in your parents' hands. It's not in the government's hands. It is in your hands. Wake up and start doing something about your life. When you start doing something about your life, there will be a change. You will start seeing moving forward. You will start seeing progress. You will start seeing things happening. Stop being lazy. Arise and do something. Put Put your hands together for Jesus. Celebrate Him. Oh, I wish I had more time. But I believe that this message is full. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Do you love the Lord? Karabo, can you just open the volume and play it just the way you are playing it? Wave your hands to Jesus. Thank Him. Love Him. Celebrate Him. Play it, brother. Sandaraba Kotaya. Kataraba Sataraba Karabaraba Karaba. Play. Ah, Shata Palaba Sapayabam. Somebody begin to thank Him, begin to love Him, begin to worship Him. Ask Him to help you, ask Him to empower you, ask Him to awaken you into your destiny, into your future. Talk to Him. Karabo play Sabata kada da 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 Shata palabaka palabayata Shata ta 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 Shata ta 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 Shata ta 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 Shata pakotos. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.